outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful.
Bing. And
since we've no place to
bingo.
Go, let it snow, let
yeah.
it snow, let it snow.
Ooh, I hope it snows.
And it doesn't show signs.
Oh, we're having an avalanche in the studio. You know why?
Why?
Because it's snowing so hard.
Well, we did have some snow,
actually. We did. This is Ann Levine. And that over there is Michael.
Hello.
This is the Ann Levine Show, and it is Tuesday, December 22nd. That means a lot of things, actually. It means 9. We're 29 days away.
Yeah, okay, right.
Well, I think that's really good.
It is good. It's very good.
Ugh, less than a month to go, people knocking on everything. Toy, 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 Kinahara.
Yeah.
All the things.
Pretty excited, actually. For the future, for the
I'm
first
hopeful.
Time in a while, yeah.
Hopeful. Yeah, because we've got that new Christmas holiday strain of COVID.
That's right. Yeah, the Brits
in England
are, Brits
just in time.
Perfect, right?
Perfect.
Shutting
you know,
everything down.
I just have to say that schmuck, Boris Johnson, decided he was going to do a Christmas bubble. And for 5 days, people were going to be able to go about their Christmas business as usual.
Right, yeah.
So for 5 days, because it's Christmas and all.
Right, Christmas and everything, yeah.
The whole country is going to do Christmas. Sure, get together with your family.
Yeah.
You know, and like that. The dumbest thing ever. This was curtailed because, 3 days ago?
Right,
this
yeah.
This thing comes out that there is this new strain of COVID spreading so fast in the UK.
Yeah, it's 70% more virulent. So
that they have shut down the UK. So
right.
Because we like to do stuff together, we will continue to fail at doing anything about COVID in this country by
right.
allowing people from the UK to still come here. But every other country in the world has said no.
That's exactly right, yeah.
And
they're like, no, France is like, I'm sorry, people.
Yeah, I don't know how sorry they are.
We can't make deliveries.
Well, they're right to their own people.
Right. We can't, you know, a lot of fresh produce comes from France into England, and no, it's not allowed.
And vice versa.
Right, yeah. So.
And we actually have a friend who's in charge of a sorting warehouse, I guess you would call it. It's a refrigerated warehouse.
Right.
For fruits and vegetables. And, you know, so she is in charge of, okay, you know.
She does, like, the logistics and stuff for that, all of that?
Yeah.
Wow,
so okay. She does, like, okay, arrête et achete. That means stop and
right,
shop.
Stop, yeah.
they're getting, you know, 77,000 pounds of Valencia oranges.
Oh, good for them.
Doesn't that sound good?
It does sound pretty good, yeah. I like a Valencia orange.
Yeah.
And I like the little satsumas. Also, those are pretty good.
Arrête de acheter. No, not ve. That's Hebrew. Et acheter. Acheter. Arrête. Stop and shop.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love it. And Shaw's is chez Jean Dominique.
Exactly. Yeah.
Anyway, so the stuff everywhere in Europe is a disaster.
Uh-huh.
You know, much like here, except here, we get to pretend, well, not all of us, but many of us get to pretend that, hey, so, COVID, new, how's by you?
Yeah.
I don't know anyone at this point who doesn't know someone or isn't related to someone that has it.
I would be really surprised to find something. Now, maybe in a group of people that, you know, as soon as they heard that, you know, we needed a quarantine, that's all they've ever done. So maybe they don't know anybody immediately around them, but they've got to have relatives or friends somewhere that have, I don't know. I cannot imagine. I really can't.
I know.
We have so many friends. We have friends who've gone through it. We know people who have died of it.
We know people who are in it.
We have family. We got family.
We have four members of the family.
Yeah.
One of whom is quite serious. Anyway, I also did something I recommend that you do, which is read The Pull of the Stars by Emma Donoghue.
The Pull of the Stars.
The Pull.
Okay.
As in, yeah.
Like, right.
Pulling Santa's
right.
sleigh.
Yeah, they're drawing you to them.
Right. Not polling.
Right. Yeah.
Polling
right.
is when you get back to the North Pole.
Yeah. Oh, I see.
And
is that what that is?
Well, no, actually, I'm joking. Mm-hmm. All joking aside, polling is what we do tomorrow on Festivus.
Right. Of course.
We sit around the pole.
Yeah, the Festivus pole.
Right.
Yep.
And, you know, it's the airing of grievances.
Airing of grievances.
Feats of strength.
Yeah. I'm ready for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And a feast. I'm ready for the whole thing. And the Festivus pole.
Hey, have you noticed the nice crackle of our warm fireplace on the air?
Yes.
Isn't that nice?
It is very nice.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound at all like distortion or
no.
studio noise.
No, of course not. No, it's really, really pleasant.
You know what? What happens, speaking of other parts of the world, you know what happens in other parts of the world, Americans? Some of you have heard of this.
Uh-huh.
But I wonder how many of you really know this, that everywhere else in the world, including North Korea, where you get 2 grains of rice on that day.
Uh-huh.
They have these things called vacations.
Right, yes.
And holidays.
Right. National.
And they're national.
Time off. Yeah.
So that say each person is allotted, depending on a series of things, 6 weeks of vacation.
Mm-hmm.
Like in France, for instance.
Right. And they have a particular time, though, in France, right? It's in August?
Generally.
Yeah. And everything shuts down.
A lot of things
for the most
do,
part,
yeah.
yeah.
And this year, I wonder what's happened. We're going to have to call. Paris is in a bubble.
Right, yeah.
But the other kind of bubble. No one in, no one out.
Right. They're not playing around.
Yeah.
And they're like, you're not even moving around in the bubble. So you
no.
just stay where you are,
and you
in
can
that
only
bubble.
Go a certain distance from your home.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you get fined.
Yeah. So we have friends over there that are a couple who have been separated for quite a while because
right.
He was in Paris and his wife was
visiting.
In another right,
right.
Visiting their daughter somewhere else, and the lockdown came, and that's it. They can't. They can't,
right.
She can't go home.
So, and yeah, so it's, you know, stuff is real. People will be stopped on the road by police who will give you a fine. You know, it's
yeah.
not like here. Anyway, read The Pull of the Stars by Emma Donahue. It was written in 2018.
Okay.
Well before COVID started, but they rushed the release because COVID started.
Oh.
It's a fiction that takes place in Dublin.
Okay.
Now, it's a historical fiction.
Mm-hmm. So, what time frame? What are we talking about?
We're 1918, and we're smack in the middle.
The Spanish
and
flu.
It takes place in a hospital, in the maternity ward of a hospital.
Oh.
And so what you have is a ward filled with pregnant women who have Spanish flu.
Ugh. Oh, how awful.
It is.
Yeah.
And one of the things you get reminded of, though, or at least I do at this point, nothing has changed particularly.
No.
I mean, okay, vaccines, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no penicillin at that time, which, according to Fauci, could have cured part of the problem.
Alleviate at least some of the symptoms, or like fever.
There were secondary infections.
Yeah. Oh, I know. It was horrible.
And so it could have cured the secondary infection.
Right.
Anyway, great book. I know it doesn't sound like fun,
mm-hmm.
but it's great.
Okay.
It is really, really good.
Of the Stars.
Pull of the Stars, Emma Donahue.
Emma Donahue.
Watch that. What is that?
What is that? Yeah.
So anyway, all these people are enjoying their vacations.
Right, yeah.
And Dhyananda.
Right, uh-huh.
Of course, it's time for the Lord's Souls. They just finished their break. They call it a break.
Yeah, took a little break and went to a little beach town.
Give me a break. They drove to a beach town.
Yeah.
Craig and Nicholas and Martin.
Yeah.
Two-thirds of whom have heterochromia.
Yeah. How about that?
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Quite unusual.
Yeah. At any rate, that's just... They said, oh, Americans, you have all the holidays, the pumpkin and the Thanksgiving. And
yeah.
I'm like, no.
No, not really. I mean, they give you Thanksgiving Day off.
Yeah, you get one day off at Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
One day off at Christmas.
Halloween, you're working that day. Yeah, the whole pumpkin thing
That is not a holiday.
No.
It's not a bank holiday. I would say we get 10 days off. 10 single days, not 10 days in a row.
Right, yeah.
There are 10 national holidays a year, and they last a day.
Right, or they tack it on to a weekend, which for some people gives them 3 days in a row that they don't have to work.
Right, it's a Monday or a Friday
that
you get off. Unless you don't.
Unless you don't, and a lot of people don't.
Yeah, I mean, there's stuff like... The dead middle of summer, 4th of July,
mm-hmm.
best holiday ever. But anyhow, that's your day off.
Yeah, that's
so
it. You're done.
You go to the harbor front while I'm talking. You know, I'm old. I'm talking old days. Get a lobster roll. Hang out with thousands of your closest friends. Sing patriotic songs and watch fireworks.
Yep.
And then you go to work in the morning.
Then you go to work, yeah. Or school or whatever, yeah.
Well, not school.
Well, not school, because it's summer, but...
Now you're pushing it.
Yeah.
Anyway, welcome back from vacay.
Yeah. Saw a picture of them on the road back. Everybody looks happy and rested.
Craig and Nicholas. Yeah. I don't know how rested they looked.
Yeah.
I mean... men around the world, and women, people around the world, listen to this. Nicholas vacuumed.
Yeah, but he limited himself to just one time.
I know. So. And that was at a holiday house.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm just going to say to people around the world, vacuuming once a week, it's just what people do.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Hey, we have some stuff to get to, you know.
Oh, I wanted to say, and I will really quick, before we start with our first one, that this entire show is being done by our friends.
Yeah.
And this...
The Christmas show.
This is the Christmas show.
The Christmas spectacular.
It's all Christmas start to finish.
Yeah.
Like you like it.
That's exactly right.
All right. Introduce the first act.
Okay, so, first off, we have Andrea DeMar telling us a wonderful Christmas story.
Jews on Christmas. There isn't enough soy sauce in the world to feed Jews on Christmas. Huddled around steaming plates of dumplings, discussing cinematography, angioplasty, lactaid, who has lived and who has died. Shocked to hear that the hot new Hollywood star is actually half Jewish, and not arguing which half. I don't see what all the fuss is about Nathan Englander. Yes, it's like The Wire, but different. Costco is a mixed blessing. Do you trust Yelp? On our smartphones, we subtract the Chinese year from the Jewish year to see how long the Jews had to wait to try egg drop soup. The laughter of Jews on Christmas shakes the jade Buddha under the faux waterfall from his sleepy serenity. And for a moment, the enlightened one opens his eyes, smiling contently as he joins us to look at pictures of relatives at Harry Potter World. Now he's Jewish too. The mushu comes with little tortillas, pancakes, wraps, whatever you want to call them. And we wrap up the mush of last year with all of its regrets and sorrows, and immerse into soy sauce, a ritual bath, three times dipped, and we say, this is not bad, our highest compliment.
That gives me such, I'm verklempt. Chinese food, first of all, is sacred.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's sacred unto all peoples who choose to recognize its holiness.
Okay, all right, I can go along with that.
Now, Jewish people, you fill in the blank.
Okay, well, they choose to recognize its holiness, I suppose. Right?
Ooh. Well, I don't know if you'd call it holiness.
Mm-hmm.
But that it's right and righteousness.
Oh, okay. All right. Yep.
Yeah, holy is... no.
Yeah.
No, it is right to eat Chinese food on December 25th.
Mm-hmm. And go to a movie.
Which
is going to be hard this year.
All of that's going to be hard. Now, I want people to hear this, because this is a cry for and from local and distant friends and family.
Okay.
Please, somebody, bring decent Chinese food to Cape Cod.
Yes, please. Oh, my God, yes.
There's nowhere we can even order stuff from.
No.
I can order right now. I could go on, well, forget it. I could do it by calling these places. They would send me a pastrami sandwich.
They sure
Barney
would.
Greengrass would have a pastrami sandwich in my hands tomorrow.
He sure would.
Goldbelly.
Yep. They would do that too.
Anything. No, I mean, anything. Yep. And they have everything except Chinese food. It's I'm telling you, because you know, Michael, there have been times that I would have dropped a few dollars on a cardboard carton of Kung Pao tofu.
That's
you know
right.
that.
Oh, yeah.
You
absolutely.
Know that.
I know that.
And
yeah.
I still have
that
a coupon.
Is something I know.
I want to hear from New Yorkers about what I'm about to say.
Okay, yeah.
A coupon for noodles.
Coupon for noodles. Yeah.
I want to know who knows, who remembers, and I don't know because sadly I haven't lived in Coupon for Noodles town in way too long, but is that still a thing? I can't imagine.
Oh, yeah, good.
Do they just bring the noodles now? Are there noodle stations at every corner?
Well, I don't know.
I'm curious to know. There should be. Someplace like Borough Park.
Yeah.
Or Crown Heights. Crown Heights, in front of the Rebbe's house, in front of 777, there should be noodle carts.
Okay.
Set up. And, you know, you can get absolutely horrendous kosher Chinese in New York.
Okay.
I mean, you can get it here, too.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, you can get the bad stuff.
Well, yeah.
That they
enjoy.
Sure
you can. Yeah.
It's kosher, after all.
Right, of course.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, that was very cool.
Andrea.
I like it when she...
We love your
voice.
Yeah. We love
she's
your
got
voice.
She got that voice.
That's
good.
NPR.
But everybody who has contributed today, and we have four more contributors, I think, they all have great voices. So
that is so true.
So you want to hear another one?
Yes.
Well, you know, we were speaking of the boys, going to be back in town.
Mm-hmm.
And while they were on vacation, Nicholas Lord Soul put this down on in digital form for our enjoyment.
The Grinch, excerpt by Dr. Seuss. And the Grinch with his Grinch feet ice cold in the snow stood puzzling and puzzling. How could it be so? It came without ribbons. It came without tags. It came without packages, boxes or bags. And he puzzled and puzzled till his puzzler was sore. Then the Grinch thought of something he hadn't before. What if Christmas, he thought, doesn't come from a store? What if Christmas, perhaps, means a little bit more?
That was exquisite.
Yeah.
It was beautifully read. And it felt heartfelt.
Yeah, well, and, you know, and it leaves you wanting more, right?
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
I mean, isn't that what we all really want? Is more NLS, more CLS, more MLS?
There you go. Right?
If you don't think I had to pull teeth to get him to record that, you are mistaken.
I'm very glad he did, so...
I'm not letting that go. Not the way you want to. First, he said, I'm sorry, I can't. I just got polio. Okay. That was the first response I got to, would you record
just
this?
Just this little,
tiny little thing. Then he said,
polio.
I can't. I've got shingles all over.
Oh, no.
Even on my,
even on
his vocal cords.
Oh, man.
That's rough. Yeah. So Michael wanted to just and let's just Christmasly drift away into the next.
Oh no! Oh no!
Okay. Well, I mean, obviously, I'm glad he recovered. I mean, that was a quick recovery.
Yep, he had the polio.
Yeah, so that's good.
Just
well, there's a vaccine for that. So
I've heard. Yeah. So I've heard.
Yeah, I've gotten it 2 or 3 times.
The polio vaccine?
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought you were going to say polio. Well, obviously that's they're too primitive in Australia.
They are?
For the polio vaccine? I mean, he got it.
I guess so, yeah. If he can just come down with it like that. And shingles. Come on, there's something going on there.
There's something very...
Yeah, you have to worry about that place now.
You do.
Great.
Yeah, because you didn't
somewhere else to worry about.
There was nothing...
No. Nothing to worry about until now. And now I've got this. Thanks.
And now.
Mm-hmm.
And now.
And now.
And now.
Oh, that was nice.
All right.
So, yeah.
I have something to bring up. I know we don't have time for this.
Uh-huh.
But I want to mention this and then pick up on it a little later.
Okay.
The Motor.
You mean like the thing from the television commercial?
Correct.
The guy that's half motorcycle, half human?
Correct.
Okay, yep.
Okay, I need...
For those of you who haven't seen him, it's his motorcycle on bottom, human on top. Yeah, torso. Right, okay. There you go. Motor.
Okay.
And they've done a series of... commercials for it, right? And is it for an insurance company or something? I think.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
It's Geico.
Geico. Oh.
Thank you for your service.
Yeah, those guys. Yeah. Love that. Yeah.
So, okay. Here's the thing about the Motor.
Right.
That thing is sexy.
You think the Motor is sexy?
I'm telling you right now, that's a sexy thing.
Okay.
And when they show the wild motors.
Oh, yeah, going through the canyon
there. Through the plains.
Yeah.
And Mr. Magic Motor,
mm-hmm.
Sexy Man Motor, rears up.
Yeah.
On the back wheel.
Mm-hmm. Like a horse wheelie. Yeah.
It's just like, come to me. Motor.
Oh, okay.
Kind of.
All right. Well.
Kind of.
Now we know that.
We do. I have more to say about the Motor.
Uh-huh.
But I think we should let a more beautiful voice prevail.
You think so?
Yes.
Well,
definitely.
I mean, we got time. We got a couple minutes if you want to talk about the Motor some more.
You know, I try. People, you just heard it. You just heard it, right? Okay, so I'm at this point where I'm feeling like might have gone too far with the Motor. Maybe I just started to go over the edge. I'm not sure.
Uh-huh.
But this is easy because radio.
Yeah,
and right. I have a co-host who can just pick up from where I left off and go with it. He can segue, help me segue.
So I'm so good at that, right?
And what happened, what you just heard, was complete sabotage. See, this is what you don't do in improv. This is how you F up improv. It's by rejecting what your partner hands you. So instead of you saying, yes, and here's our next selection.
Oh, yeah.
You said, oh, no, I got time for you to make a jerk out of yourself talking about the sexuality of a motor.
That's right. Yeah.
There.
There you go.
Enjoy. Merry Christmas.
And now, Kate Steinberg.
'Twas the night before Christmas, and we being Jews, my girlfriend and me, we had nothing to do. The Gentiles were home, hanging stockings with care, secure in the knowledge Saint Nick would be there. But for us, once the Hanukkah candles burned down, there was nothing but boredom all over the town. The malls and the theaters were all closed up tight. There weren't any concerts to go to that night. A dance would have saved us, some ballroom, a swing. Though we searched through the papers, there wasn't a thing. Outside the window said 2 feet of snow. With the windshield, they said it was 15 below. And while all I could do was sit there and brood, my girl saved the night and called out, Chinese food! So we ran to the closet, grabbed hats, mitts, and boots to cover our heads, our hands, and our foots. We pulled on our jackets, all puffy with down, and boarded the T bound for old Chinatown. In search of a restaurant, which one? Let's decide. We chose Hunan Hoser and ventured inside. Around us sat other Jews, their platters piled high, with the finest of foods the money could buy. There was roast duck and fried fake squid, sweet, sour, and spiced, dried kosher beef and mixed veggies, lo mein and fried rice, whole fish and mooshai and shrimp, chow mee foon, and General Gao's chicken and ma po tofu. When at last we decided, and the waiter did call, we said, skip the menu, and ordered it all. And when in due time the food was all made, came to the table in a sort of parade. Before us sat dim sum, spare ribs, and egg rolls, and 4 different soups, and 4 great huge bowls. The courses kept coming from spicy to mild, and higher toward the ceiling were piled. So much piled up, one dish after the other, my girlfriend and I couldn't see one another. Now we sat there, we two, without proper utensils. Well, they handed us something that looked like 2 pencils. We ate till we couldn't and drank down our teas and barely had room for our fortune cookies. But my fortune was perfect. It summed up the mood when it said, even if it was kosher, it was still Chinese food. And my girlfriend, well, she got a real winner. Hers said, your companion will pay for the dinner. Our bellies were full and at last it was time to travel back home and write some bad rhyme of a Chinatown trek, and to privately speak about trying to refine our chopsticks technique. The MSG spun round and round in our heads as we tripped and we laughed, and gaily we said, as we carried our leftovers home through the night, good Yom Tov to all, and to all a good night.
Michael just said, oh my God, I love that.
Of course, I did say that.
Of course, he said it before he hit the his mic button.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. Okay. I forget to do that sometimes.
Are you all right?
Yeah, I'm fine.
you seem like something terrible happened.
No, nothing. Nothing has happened at all. We're just doing the show.
Right? Well,
like a typical show, nothing has happened.
We both think Steinberg is freaking hilarious.
That's Steinberg, our Facebook moderator.
Michael had just said that.
Yeah.
Of course. Then we get, this is, again, okay, you know what this show is?
What is it?
This is how not to improvise.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, so I don't know anything about improvisation.
I know.
Yeah.
So that's why, you know, I'm teaching you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Good. Yeah, everybody gets to know. Hear me learn how to do it. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Oh, well, see, you are doing it right now.
Okay.
So don't act so glum.
Uh-huh. Okay.
My little sugar plum. That was my Christmas rhyme.
You know, I mentioned this to you before, but did you hear me just say, aw?
Yeah.
I did not spell that with an E on the end of it.
Great.
Yeah.
Wow. See, everything's improving. His improv skills, his spelling. All
right?
Getting better.
That's right.
See, that was good improv. I took what you said and I went with it.
You really did, didn't you? Yeah.
I didn't do a stop, wait, go back.
Right. Yeah, that is true. That is true. But nobody was laughing just now.
You're the nobody.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, anyway. You are.
Oh, no. I feel like some spilkas are coming on. I do.
You do.
Well, I'm repressing a cough.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And as we know, all coughs must be suppressed.
Right.
Oppressed.
Depressed.
Pressed.
Yeah, pressed.
Press them on down.
Cold pressed.
You know, mm-hmm. Speaking of pressing things.
Yes.
Handkerchiefs.
Right. Yeah, handkerchiefs.
Handkerchiefs ironed to within... To with starch, mitt starch, to
oh,
a
with
point
starch,
where
yes.
you can cut yourself on the corner where it's folded.
I see. Yep.
It would actually hurt. Like if that went in your nose, it might draw blood.
Uh-huh. Isn't it just wiser just to use like a plastic, you know, a hard plastic, something hard plastic rather than something that is cotton or silk or whatever, and then starch it into plastic?
So, I just want to go over this. We're talking yeah. handkerchiefs.
Yeah.
So, you want some hard plastic to blow your nose into.
Uh-huh. Well, I don't know. I don't understand the shellacking of a handkerchief with the starch.
Did I say heavy starch?
Well, you said, you know, starched enough so that, you know, you could probably draw blood.
No. Ironed enough.
Yeah.
It's the ironing.
It's the ironing.
If you just spritz some starch onto something, what good's that going to do? You think that solves wrinkle problem?
No, you have to put the iron
to
it.
You have to put the iron.
Yeah.
Right, but if you want those creases to be sharp. Now, here's the thing. People, I want you to think about it. I know it's going to take a long time to convince you. The use of handkerchiefs.
Okay, yeah. So you're a proponent of using handkerchiefs, going back to the handkerchief days.
I have been someone who has been an opponent of handkerchiefs.
Opposant, yes.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Very opposant.
I see.
To someone who is a proponent and this country's first handkerchief teacher.
Yeah.
Is what I'm going to be. They're going to call me in the new administration the first handkerchief.
I see. Okay. Well, that'll be weird.
You'll be Mr. Handkerchief.
Mr. Hanky.
Mr. Hank.
Yeah. Okay.
What's your favorite thing to
say? There you go. Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Mr. Hank. All right. Well, I'm actually in favor of handkerchiefs. I don't get the starch thing or even the ironing thing. But handkerchiefs, yeah, they're pretty handy.
Oh, come on. When you see a person in distress, and you have to wipe their brow or hand them something to dab at their tears,
mm-hmm.
do you want to be pulling some crumpled mess out of your jeans pocket? No. You want a perfectly groomed, pristine handkerchief.
Right.
Coming right out of your breast pocket.
Yeah, I know, but you better hope you hadn't had to use it already. You know, that's the problem.
Different scenario.
I see. Okay. All right. Well, you know, I'm trying to think of all of the different situations you could end up with or in, you know, with this whole handkerchief thing.
All right. Enough with this. I would like to now hear.
Yes.
One
we
of
do
the most
have someone,
beautiful things.
Yeah, it is
this,
pretty nice.
This right here is one of our biggest Christmas presents for you. Enjoy. It's beautiful.
'Twas the night before Christmas, when all through the house not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. The stockings were hung by the chimney with care, in hopes that St. Nicholas would soon be there. The children were nestled all snug in their beds, while visions of sugar plums danced in their heads. And Mama in her kerchief and I in my cap had just settled down for a long winter's nap. When out on the lawn there arose such a clatter, I sprang from the bed to see what was the matter. Away to the window I flew like a flash, tore open the shutters and threw up the sash. The moon on the breast of the new-fallen snow gave the lustre of midday to the objects below, when what to my wondering eyes should appear but a miniature sleigh and a tiny reindeer. With a little old driver so lively and quick, I knew in a moment it must be St. Nick. More rapid than eagles, his coursers they came, and he whistled and shouted and called them by name. Now Dasher, now Dancer, Prancer and Vixen, O Comet, O Cupid, O Donner and Blitzen, to the top of the porch, to the top of the wall, now dash away, dash away, dash away all. As dry leaves that before the wild hurricane fly, when they meet with an obstacle, mount to the sky. So up to the house top the coursers they flew, with the sleigh full of toys and St. Nicholas too. And then in a twinkling I heard on the roof the prancing and pawing of each little hoof. As I drew in my head and was turning around, down the chimney St. Nicholas came with a bound. He was dressed all in fur from his head to his foot, and his clothes were all tarnished with ashes and soot. A bundle of toys he had flung on his back, and he looked like a peddler just opening his pack. His eyes how they twinkled, his dimples how merry, his cheeks were like roses, his nose like a cherry. His droll little mouth was drawn up like a bow, and the beard on his chin was as white as the snow. The stump of a pipe he held in his teeth, and the smoke encircled his head like a wreath. He had a broad face and a little round belly that shook when he laughed like a bowl full of jelly. Ho, ho, ho! He was chubby and plump, a right jolly old elf, and I laughed when I saw him in spite of myself. A wink of his eyes and a twist of his head soon gave me to know I had nothing to dread. He spoke not a word, but went straight to his work and filled all the stockings, then turned with a jerk. And laying his finger aside of his nose and giving a nod, up the chimney he rose. He sprang to his sleigh, to his team, gave a whistle, and away they all flew like the down of a thistle. But I heard him explain as he drove out of sight, "Happy Christmas to all, and to all a good night." Happy Christmas, everybody. Have the best Christmas ever. And thank you for listening. Bye for now.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
How divine.
I love it. I love it.
That was, of course, our friend Molly, who is unfortunately in and out of Boris.
Oh.
Boris Johnson's bubble.
Yeah. Yeah.
But she is celebrating the holiday season. I actually had a little chat with her earlier, and she's got hair glitter. It's just she and her mother are like in quarantine together.
Uh-huh.
But her son, her sister, her brother-in-law, none of that, they had planned to take advantage of the 5-day bubble.
Oh,
which
okay.
got closed down.
Right.
So it's not as holly jolly as it could be, but she's making the most of it. And
helping out around here.
And she sent us some adorable Christmas presents, so we say thank you.
Yes. Okay, we got one more. We better get to it because, you know, it's a little longer one.
This is one of my favorite things of all time. It is Dylan Brody's A Child's Christmas in Brief.
Thank you so much, David. Thank you, Valley Performing Arts Center, for having David here. Thank you, whoever invented the slimming lectern. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen of my target demographic. We are the only Jews in Schuylerville, New York. Everyone in Schuylerville knows we are the only Jews. So there is considerable confusion surrounding the great, well-decorated Christmas tree in our large, uncurtained living room. We are not very good Jews. After a childhood of envy toward her friends with their big decorated trees and their wrapped presents, my mother has decided she is a grown-ass woman and can celebrate the holiday however she damn well pleases. So every year we pick out a tree, we set it up in the living room. My mother decorates it, my sister and I are in charge of tinsel. And every year she screams at me, "Strands, not clumps!" Presents wait under it for the 25th. My father is an atheist, but he believes in history and tradition. So he pulls the menorah out of the closet, and for 8 nights we turn our backs on my mother's secular celebration tree. And we go through baffling rituals. We don't always know what day Hanukkah starts, so we wind up burning extra candles to make lost time. He doesn't know the Hebrew. So as he lights the candles, he solemnly intones abracadabra, alakazam. We light the candles. We don't eat ham. By the 8th night, it becomes absurd. We will not eat it in a boat. We will not eat it with a goat. We will not eat the Gentile's ham. We will not eat it. L'chaim. This year he has found a pamphlet. On one side it has the Hebrew, on the other side it has the phonetic spellings in English. So we mouth incomprehensible words. Baruch atah Adonai, have a clue what I am saying. My sister and I ask him for an explanation of the holiday, and first he goes the traditional self-loathing anti-Semitic route. He says, "We still celebrate because 5,000 years ago, one of us got a good deal on some lamp oil." And then he winces and shrugs as though he is forgiving himself for some minor slight committed against a college roommate whose nickname is remembered, but whose true name is melted into memory. And he tries to explain the holiday. It is utterly baffling. There are Maccabees who are inexplicably not Scottish. There are refugees from some war in the Middle East who hide in a cave, and outside darkness falls, and inside the white light burns, and it's all about oil, how much there is, how long it will last. My sister is 13. She has a keenly refined sense of hypocrisy. She has figured out that religion has been at the root of many wars over the millennia. So any nod to any religion is an indication that my parents are not as committed to the peace movement as they would have everyone believe. She has figured out that Judeo-Christian traditions are steeped in patriarchal history and wrongs, so any nod to either of those traditions is an indication that my parents are not as committed to equal rights and feminism as they would have everyone believe. She has figured out that the gift-giving season is part of a corporate consumerist construct, so any exchange of presents is an indication that my parents are not as committed to global workers' rights as they would have everyone believe. I am 11. I like presents. I like days off from school, reading comic books in my pajamas for so long that the elasticized ankles leave rib marks in my pale winter flesh. Dusty, Dustin Hoffdog, the great matted sheepdog mutt of my youth, believes that we are the best, most wonderful family that has ever lived, and that any food left outside the refrigerator is there for him. He is having a very happy, very gassy holiday season. The true miracle of the season lies in the fact that our house does not explode. This year there is an energy crisis. Words like OPEC and embargo on the news, words as meaningless to me as if they were in Hebrew. It's all about oil, how much there is, how long it will last. My father has bought an old pot-bellied stove at a local antiques market. He has had a handyman set it up in our living room, running stovepipe up to a hole in the chimney. He says it will save on the heating bill, and he is correct. Because when the stove is lit, it heats an area around itself, 7 feet in diameter, an area that encompasses the thermostat. When the stove is lit, the furnace shuts down. Every year, he has brought out the record of Dylan Thomas, my namesake, reading his poem, A Child's Christmas in Wales. And every year I have been told to sit and listen to it, which I do for 2 or 3 minutes before growing bored and wandering away. This year he hasn't brought out the record. Perhaps he's gotten tired of a tradition that always leaves him disappointed. Perhaps he's just forgotten. I go to the shelf, I find the record and pull it out. I slide the vinyl from the cardboard sleeve. Perhaps I've inherited his love of tradition. Perhaps I'm seeking parental approval. I put it on the turntable. I drop the needle. And the dead Welshman tells his childhood tales of snowballs thrown and melted long ago. I lie on the floor, I rest my head on Dusty, knees pointed toward the ceiling, small feet chilling flat on hardwood. The dog cranes around to snuffle me, petting me in his way. His breath smells of stolen latkes. And I listen to the salt-swept, sea-stained voice of the drunken Welshman. He speaks of candied cigarettes that unwrap to prove chocolate against his tongue. And I've had candied cigarettes, and they were always made of stiff bubble gum. So I think he's gotten it wrong, because I'm 11, and I know everything. But I don't. I don't know that as I listen, I am learning to love words and sentences and cadence. I don't know that I am learning to listen and learning to write. I don't know that I am freezing my own snow globe memories against future use. Outside, the white snow falls. Inside, the black disc turns. And here, in this cold and godless house. These are holy days. Thank you. I've been given permission to take one moment just to say this. On December 19th, I am recording three full-length solo shows at the David Henry Hwang Theater. There are 240 seats in this theater, and it's not sold out yet. So if just, 223 of you could come, that would be very helpful to me, and you'll have a good evening. That seems a little bit like applauding my Kickstarter campaign, but thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, it is my joy, my honor, my delight to bring to the stage the man you came to see, a man whose kindness and generosity of spirit and warmth have changed my life and my career and put me in front of audiences like you. Look, I don't have a homosexual bone in my body, but if I did, I would want it to be his. Ladies and gentlemen, David Sedaris.
That was the best ever.
Thank you so much.
I love that.
Oh, thank you so much.
Wow. Thank you, Dylan, for writing that and for performing it. And we add our applause and laughter to all that you received that evening. I wish I could have been there.
Yeah.
Someday soon, we will have live events again.
One of these days, yeah.
If the
venues aren't, destroyed by lack of attendance, so many of these places are going out of business. It's awful.
I know. It is awful. But glimmer of hope and lights from Broadway, tickets are on sale.
Oh, yeah.
For previews that are a year from now, trust me, if you buy tickets to a show on Broadway for a year from now, this year's going to fly.
That is true. Plan anything.
Trust me. Yeah. You won't believe how soon it is. We had some challenging news, to put it mildly. My uncle has COVID. And he is in a nursing home, so none of that's good. But I want to wish him a very, very happy, comfortable. I want you to be comfortable on Christmas. And thank you to everyone who contributed to this show. You made it wonderful. You make it wonderful every week.
Andrea, Nicholas, Kate, Molly, Dylan, thank you so much.
And next week we have something from Artemis. Oh my God. Yes, it's true. We do. For my angel in the sky, please put a light on me.